welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin. This is our third episode live. Like I've been saying to you guys, if you haven't been tuning in, this is the future of the show. We're going to keep it live. We've been getting good feedback. People love the fan interaction because it's live. I won't be able to cut out any of the mistakes, but I think that adds to the beauty of it, I guess. Anyways, today I have my awesome co-host with me. How you doing, Opti?
What's up, Nico? Well, you know, we don't make mistakes because we are the best in the game. So that's why they love us, because we are the most humble and the best. Guys, seriously, though, we're going to make this the best show possible because you love it live and we love doing this for you guys. So we are going to dominate in this format. I feel it in my plums, Nico.
Yeah, I'm uber bullish, too. Anyways, today we got an interesting show lined up. We're going to talk about Fedimints. Alex Gladstein released this awesome article. Odell has been trying to convince me, like trying to explain to me what Fedimints are, how they work. I couldn't understand it fully. And then when I read this article, it explained to me, it explained every aspect of it. So I'm really excited about today's show. Obviously, we have the fails from Pomp, etc. But anyways, Opti, let's start the show.
For number time.
Brought to you by Noddle. They make some of the best Bitcoin nodes, like the Noddle 1. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. Remember, guys, if you don't run your own Bitcoin node, you're using someone else's. And now, if you're a digital nomad, you have no excuse, because you could run a Noddle node over a virtual private server anywhere around the world. Visit noddle.eu. Awesome. All right. Let's get to the numbers first. Opti, could you turn down your... because I'm hearing myself... Yeah, there we go. Still kind of. There we go, better. All right, so let's go to the numbers. Let's check it out. At the time of this recording, the Bitcoin price is at 23,165 sats per dollar, 4,208 block height, 747,103 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 14,205. Bitcoin percentage issued 90.98%. Blocks to the halving, that time that block could not come any sooner, 92,897. Halving estimate April 19th, 2024. Total Lightning network capacity 4,393 Bitcoin. The total Lightning network capacity value in US dollars, 104 million. I hope that number continues to go up. The estimated hash rate over the last 90 days is at 211 exahashes, and the annual mining revenue, $14.4 billion. That is crazy incentives. Anyways, so another kind of historic moment, right? We've been making the case for a long time on Simply Bitcoin that Bitcoin is going mainstream. So you're seeing it being covered by mainstream reporters. Tucker Carlson had... who has 3.5 average nightly viewers. He had Saylor on, and he's been talking about Bitcoin a lot. And now we had Natalie Brunell, who works in Bitcoin, right? She's the head of the Hard Money show, so shout out to her. She went on Fox Business, and she absolutely hit it out of the park. Let me play the video, and then we'll talk about it.
The entire world would be using crypto, even if it's limited to certain projects. The entire world?
I think the entire world will be using Bitcoin. Why? Because we need a superior form of money.
Would there be enough Bitcoin out there to make it a viable backbone for the entire global financial system?
Well, that's exactly the point, because you know what Bitcoin is immune to? Inflation. And we need a form of money, a superior form of money that's immune to that. Because who benefits from inflation? The rich people, the people who have assets, and the people at the bottom really suffer. And we've never had this bad of wealth concentration since the late 1920s. And money doesn't really trickle down, but the defaults will trickle up. And I think everyone in this room can agree that at some point, that money printer will go burr again. It has to. It's just math. We're too far into debt. And when it does, the bubble will get even bigger. The wealth concentration will get even worse. And thank goodness we have a parallel system through technology that we can peacefully exit into and start accumulating Bitcoin to fix some of these problems and leave behind, demonetize the Fed's monopoly on money.
You know, here's the thing, though, Haley. You're going to be pretty busy then.
Okay. Yeah. Because
they're not going to let go easily. The world governments, the fiat currency, the establishment, they're not going to let go of this, the stranglehold they have on everybody's lives right
now. Right. I mean, I think that there is definitely a reason why U.S. regulators are responding to the space as aggressively and unclearly as they are. And part of that, I do think, is intentional because Bitcoin challenges the U.S.'s monetary policy and how we deal with money and how we print money. And the thing with Bitcoin is there'll only ever be 21 million. There can't be more. And it's really, in my view, a hedge against inflation, even with the volatility we've seen recently.
All right. Well, we got to leave it there. Got to give a hand to Natalie Haley. Two great friends.
They did absolutely awesome, so shout out to them. And yeah, look, this idea, right, of a non-government currency is seeping into the mainstream ever so slowly, but you're starting to see the pushback. And the question is absolutely ridiculous. It's like, what the government needs to control? It's like, but why? Like, well, it's like, why? You know, like, why is that? You know, they never have an answer for you, right? And remember, who does fiat benefit? Fiat is a currency by the government for the government. Bitcoin is a currency by the people for the people. When you own Bitcoin and you take it into self-custody, keyword there, taking it into self-custody, no one could take it away from you. It is solely in your possession. That's what makes it so freaking powerful. And I think that the broadcaster there, the gentleman, he was absolutely right in his observation that yeah, they absolutely hate this thing. Why would they want to give back that power? Like that is a very good observation, right? Why would they want to give that back? They're not going to. And he actually noticed something else, right? Is that why is the U.S. treating regulating Bitcoin and shitcoins the way it is, right? They're not playing on equal footing. Why is Catlin Long's bank still not approved in Wyoming? Why is that? Why has the SEC acted the way it has been acting, right? Looks like it's some double standards. And the reason that I believe it's double standards is because that gentleman, that broadcaster, was absolutely spot on. It is a threat to the establishment. It takes power away from the establishment and it gives it back to the hands of the people. And governments have been using that money printer to pay for all crazy policies, wars, all these things that you might not necessarily agree with. And Bitcoin is basically saying like, yeah, I'm not going to participate in that. So like Bitcoin's unintended feature and one of my favorite features in Bitcoin is that it reveals everybody's incentives. And it's going to reveal the incentives of Bitcoin, the incentives of governments, better said. And dude, they're going to have to show their card. We just want you using our money so that we could benefit from being able to print money and you footing the cost, right? Because printing money isn't free. It's free for the government, but it's basically stealing for the people to benefit the government, but not only the government, also the wealthy, because the wealthy benefit from asset inflation because they have the means to, you know, park their wealth in equities, real estate, et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, great job by Natalie Brunell. Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, you know my message. I thoroughly believe Bitcoin is going mainstream. I think it's obvious to anyone that is paying attention that Bitcoin is everywhere and all they can talk about is Bitcoin in bad light. So feed me your FUD and I will turn it into love because Bitcoin is the truth. And Bitcoin is the exit door. Bitcoin is for everyone and everyone will hear the sound money gospel. Bitcoin is the peaceful revolution that they do not want to see happen. Thus, what are we going to do? We are going to spread that message far and wide in as many angles and as many ways as possible because people need Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't need everyone to jump on it for it to work. Bitcoin is killing it out there and the world needs Bitcoin, guys. This is the message. We need Bitcoin. Fundamentally, the system is broken and Bitcoin is the truth. And Bitcoin is the escape door. So what are they going to do? They're going to FUD the exit door because they do not want people to leave. They need to keep you in their system. But we know better. Bitcoin is a hedge against government debasement. And governments can't help themselves but to debase the money. because that's their main power, guys. The money printer has to go burr for them to control the masses. So we're here to counter that FUD. Bitcoin is for everyone, and everyone will hear the sound money gospel. Bitcoin wins in the end because Bitcoin is, and that is enough.
Amen, Opti. Anyways, let's move on. Time for
the daily news.
Brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make some of the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the famous 3D printed Bitcoin grenade toy. Comes in any custom color your heart desires. This just happens to be in simply Bitcoin colors or Bitcoin colors. Or what if you like Peter Schiff? Like gold. That's right. He makes it in gold. Any custom color. Definitely go check out CryptoCloaks. You can take advantage of the promo code down below to get 5% off. If you're in Europe, the European store is now open. Check out CryptoCloaks.com. Awesome. All right, let's get to it. So first, I want to share this very quickly. Let's check this out, because we were talking about essentially the effects of money printing, right? This is something that I pull up all the time, right? This is the M2 money supply, right? This literally, you could check it out right here. You know, the beginning of the pandemic, and they just literally, you know, their fingers got crazy. They kept pressing that P button. They printed a ridiculous amount of money. Now, what Natalie was saying back in the earlier part of the show, what are the effects of that? I just ran into this chart recently. This is the median sales price of houses sold in the United States. Check this out. 2020, look at the price of housing, and look how that coincides with the money printer. And that is absolutely unfair, because let's say you're younger, let's say you're in the market for your first house, right? Dude, you literally got screwed so that the government could bail itself out, and the rich who did have money in equities and real estate got significantly richer. And who doesn't benefit from this? The poor and the middle class. This is literally money printing. You have to call it for what it is. It is literally theft. Now, here's the good news, because we are a Bitcoin show after all. This is one of my favorite websites. It's called PricedInBitcoin21.com, right? And we always talk about how Bitcoin is a deflationary currency, right? Meaning your purchasing power will increase over time versus fiat, where your purchasing power will decrease over time. Right? Here is the medium new house, right? As you can see, over a period of 5 years, if you were saving in Bitcoin, which is what we advocate for on this show, don't speculate, save in it. A house, even with housing increasing the way it has, literally doubling in the last 2 to 3 years, if you were saving in Bitcoin, that house would still be 83% cheaper. And over a period of 3 years, which is not as long as 5 years, obviously, a house, even with housing doubling in the last 2 to 3 years, a house would be 41% cheaper. That is the power of Bitcoin. That is the power of a deflationary technology. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts before we move on to the Fediments? You're muted, my dude.
Sorry, guys. Figuring this software out. Guys, as I was going to say, if nothing pisses me off more than understanding that the rich are dumping on you, the plebs out there, and scooping up assets while we all get poorer, I don't know what will. Like, this should literally get all your blood boiling, but you really don't have to focus on it, because the signal is Bitcoin makes your life easier. Bitcoin frees you from this rat race. Bitcoin opts you out of their system, and they can't do anything about it if you take self-custody. So again, like I said in the spaces before I started this, you don't have to pay attention to this stuff. This stuff is all noise. Honey Badger, don't give AF. And blocks are still coming in. Pure signal, guys. This doesn't matter. But we know what is happening. They are debasing your currency. They are stealing from you slowly. Inflation is theft. And this is pure Bitcoin fundamentals.
Absolutely true. Anyways, let's get to the meat, shall we? Guys, I'm going to do a little bit more reading than I usually do. Most of the times I'm, you know, I'm commenting, but this article is such high signal that I feel like it's justified. Anyways, let's check it out. The name of the article is on Bitcoin Magazine. Shout out to them. It's called "Can Fedimens Help Bitcoin Scale to the World?" And it was written by the legendary Alex Gladstein on July 22nd, 2022. Anyways, let's check it out. Again, I'm going to do a little bit of reading, but I promise you, bear with me, it will be worth it, and you'll have an understanding of what Fedimens are and how they're going to change the Bitcoin landscape, right? And I'll explain to you why they're so important. Anyways, 33 years ago, the computer scientist David Shaum launched eCash, a new way for people to spend digital dollars without revealing their personal information. These tokens were bearer instruments and could be traded privately across the internet between different eCash users or spendable articles from Encyclopedia Britannica. When merchants redeemed the tokens in exchange for dollar deposits in their bank accounts, DigiCash was not able to link the redemption to the original deposit, thanks to a clever cryptographic concept Shaum invented called blind signatures. In a blind signature scheme, secrecy is attained through a mechanism best explained by a metaphor. Imagine a user walks into a bank and picks up a slip of carbon paper out of a box. Each slip has a unique number printed out on the front. She seals the slip inside on an opaque black envelope and hands that plus $100 in cash to a teller who signs the exterior of the envelope, transferring the bank's signature onto the carbon slip inside. The bank does not know which exact slip was inside, but the user could leave the bank, remove the slip, and voila, she now has an official promise to pay. Unfortunately, Shaum's plan didn't work. DigiCash was unable to gain traction as a regulated entity and declared bankruptcy in 1998. 3 years later, American and European officials responded to terrorist attacks in New York City on September 11, 2001, with a new wave of financial security measures. These know your customer and anti-money laundering rules ended any chance that establishment banks could truly protect their customers' financial privacy. The eCash dream was dead. Today, however, Shaum's vision is being resurrected and upgraded thanks to an unlikely alliance in the Bitcoin community. Last October, in a moment of serendipity, the software developer Eric, sorry guys, Nigo can't read, so I forgive my pronunciation, Eric Siron ran into the Bitcoin exchange veteran Obi Nwosu at the Hackers Congress in Prague. I apologize, guys, I pronounced that incorrect. Nwosu had run CoinFloor, a UK-based Bitcoin-only exchange, for 8 years. In 2021, he sold the business, realizing that instead of being a jailbreaker and freeing people from the handcuffs of fiat currency by helping them access Bitcoin, he had become the jailbreaker, forcing them into compliance through regulation. Another word for regulation, he says, is censorship. He quit the corporate world and decided to set off on a mission to aid people worldwide through open source code. He wanted to address the enormous global problem of financial exclusion by enabling people to access Bitcoin without going through mega corporations. The solution, he thought, would need to be decentralized, de-identified, and dematerialized. And I think he was absolutely right in that. In 2015, Blockstream's Adam Back and Greg Maxwell launched Elements, a Bitcoin sidechain that evolved into what is known as Liquid. Here, Bitcoin users peg into a federated system that gives better privacy through confidential transactions. The federation allows users to peg out later back to Bitcoin. Liquid has not caught on as the creators had hoped, but the engineering behind it sparked an idea in Siron's mind that could some of the technology behind Liquid be used to allow any group of people anywhere to spit up a federated Shaumian mint. Thought that Bitcoin's programmable money could enable a federated alternative where a group of users could control the mint and sign off on transactions through consensus. This way, instead of just one person being able to steal funds or cave to regulatory pressure, a majority would need to collude or give in. The consensus algorithm to achieve group approval of transactions would be a novel mechanism based on technology pioneered by Blockstream. Shaumian mints could vastly improve the privacy given by traditional custodians, and by adding federated control, the risk of theft could be significantly reduced. Most Bitcoin users, and this is the important part, guys, this is why Fedimens are so important. Most Bitcoin users simply buy, store, and sell on custodial platforms with KYC and AML constraints. Think about it. Your parents buy Bitcoin. Dude, they'll buy it, they'll leave it on a shitcoin exchange like Coinbase, right? You know, they'll leave it on their Robinhood app, right? All these shitcoin platforms. And they'll think, oh, I own Bitcoin. But they don't. They didn't take possession of it. And that's a big problem. When they withdraw their Bitcoin, the address that receives the funds is known to the exchange and thus governments. But most people don't consider this a problem and would rather just do what's easiest. Go on Binance or Coinbase to buy or sell Bitcoin. Sirlan, through that mobile Fedimint-powered apps could buck the trend and give people easier UX and powerful privacy. He was concerned that he might get tarred and feathered by the Bitcoin community for proposing a solution that made a trade-off on self-custody, but ultimately thought improving privacy for the average user was worth it. Meanwhile, had an idea, different reason to pursue the Fedimint idea. Most Bitcoiners use custodial options and trust a corporation with their Bitcoin. Maybe this is because a few can afford or it's a hardware wallet. Moving on. Here we go. Fedimints are a provocative idea because they violate the first rule, not your keys, not your coins. This mantra is repeated by every serious Bitcoin user who knows not to store their Bitcoin on third-party exchanges. When used properly, Bitcoin should allow people to be their own banks. At this summer's protests in Hainan, China show, even in dictatorial regimes, people care deeply about their savings and are willing to risk their lives to protect their savings. The ability to be your own bank is a revolution, which is what we always tell you on the show. The revolution is people taking self-custody. But the problem is that not everybody has the technical know-how or the necessity to take self-custody. They either feel it's too complicated. So Fedimint bridges the gap. Fedimint chooses a third way between first-party custody and third-party custody. Nosu calls it second-party custody, trusting friends, family, or community leaders. With regard to recoverability, it is possible for Fedimint users to back up their funds with the seed phrase, just like via a Bitcoin wallet. But Nosu points out that then we're back where we started with 12 words written down on a piece of paper, where one's finances are physically vulnerable and not dematerialized. If a user is a part of a community Fedimint run by people she knows, she can elect to have her mobile app encrypted, a backup to her guardians. If she ever loses her phone, she can go to a quorum of the guardians who start a recovery process and she can get her funds back. Nwasu and Suran are launching a company with developer Justin Moon to offer the first Fedimint mobile wallet. Fedi raised $4.2 million last week in a seed round to get started and will use methodologies pioneered by the design firm IDEO to ensure that the final product, and this is key, guys, incorporates human-centered design as a simple and easy to use as possible. So I want to focus on that last part, right? Because I know a lot of you guys are like, yo, this isn't self-custody. You have to understand something, right? Most people, 99% of people, don't take self-custody. They leave it on a centralized exchange, right? There's only a small few of us that jump the necessary hoops to take self-custody. So this bridges the gaps for the people that are just not willing and able, too old, or don't have the technical know-how to do that. And without them knowing that they're doing this, they could do it anyways, right? And the example or the analogy that Odell gave when he came on the show, think about Proton Mail. If you're using Proton Mail and you don't look at the marketing and whatever, you're just using it just feels like a regular email service. Thing is that Proton Mail can't read your emails. And if you compare that with Gmail, that literally scans your email so that they could sell you marketing, right? It's a big difference. Now, is this a perfect solution? Absolutely not. But it does bridge the gap and it definitely takes, right, power away from these giant centralized institutions and exchanges that accumulate all of this Bitcoin, right? Because they're holding it for somebody else. Shaman Mintz is a stopgap. It's a better solution. Anyways, let me continue reading from the article and then we'll wrap up. Sorry, guys, a little bit of reading today, but I just want you guys to get the full picture of what this is and why it's such a big deal. Anyways, moving on. So everyone says he recently visited El Salvador for the Adoption Bitcoin conference and was totally heartbroken by how many people were just using the wallet of Satoshi app. The first hurdle, he says, is getting them off these totally centralized solutions. Odell says he can count how many videos there are of so-called hardcore Bitcoiners visiting places like El Zonte using fully custodial apps. I know some of you guys are guilty of this. We need to make the tools that give people that same convenience, he says, while offering a better trade-off model. In the end, even power Bitcoin users may find utility in Fediments. If they use them like checking accounts, they might put small amounts of Bitcoin into a Fediment app and use it to spend privately. And of course, power users with enough technical acumen to run infrastructure might find financial or moral reasons to act as a guardian in local or global Fediment systems. Explains that in third-party custody, the user has no privacy from the custodian, when in first-party custody, privacy from the public, as they are vulnerable to chain surveillance, but a lot of Fediment transactions look the same on the blockchain as one normal transaction protecting the individual. Ultimately, Sirroin doesn't think users will choose privacy for its own value, but with Fediments, they will receive privacy at an externality of seeking better UI, UX, cheaper fees, and an escape from the regulatory dragnet. Privacy by default, he says, might be a way to defeat the KYC surveillance system. And this makes sense because, look, in an ideal world, everyone would buy a cold card, everyone would take it into cold storage, but this takes into account human nature, right? If it's by privacy by default and it doesn't require an extra step, people are not going to be against it, right? Is it as good as self-custody? No, it's not. But for people that, you know, just don't have the technical know-how, maybe it's too daunting for them, this is better than the custodial solutions that exist today. Anyways, let me go down here and let me wrap it up. This is a quote by Hal Finney. It says, there is a very good reason for Bitcoin-backed banks to exist. Issuing their own digital cash currency redeemable for Bitcoins. Bitcoin itself cannot scale to have every single financial transaction in the world be broadcast to everyone and include in the blockchain. There needs to be a secondary level of payment systems, which is lighter weight and more efficient. Bitcoin-backed banks will solve these problems. They can work like banks did before nationalization of currency. And then Alex Gladstein ends with, maybe Finney's Bitcoin banks were not Coinbase or Binance after all, but rather a global network of Fediments. And guys, you have to understand that in developing countries as well, right? A lot of people don't use banks. What they use is different types of financial intermediaries where there is trust involved. And the awesome part about this, right, is that you're not relying on a single party, right? You're relying on a group of people of which you confide in, right, to hold, you know, it doesn't have to be a large amount of money, right? But if you compare this, right, you don't have to write down a seed, you don't have to do any of that, right? But if you compare this with what the system is today and how people are using the system today, right? Man, you tell someone to download a Bitcoin wallet, they download Cash App, right? They literally have Cash Apps like, oh, I have a Bitcoin, I have an address, right? But it's not your Bitcoin. It's literally in the hands of Cash App. And because Cash App is a company, it can be and will be captured by governments, right? And I love what BTC Pins says here, right? Family Fediments, mom and dad are the federation, right? That could be a use case, right? You could have uncles, you could have moms, you could have whatever, and they all kind of, you know, share that responsibility as well. So I think this is the future of, this is the answer, better said, to the Bitcoin custody problem. And the Bitcoin custody problem is the fact that because self-custody is so technical, because it requires you to learn a whole new aspect about storing your wealth, right? Through writing down the seed, you know, putting it on metal, putting it on paper, storing it in a safe place, right? This takes human nature into account. Is it a replacement to self-custody? No, but I'll tell you this, if this is successful, it will take more Bitcoin out of the hands of centralized exchanges that can and will be captured by governments, and it will give that Bitcoin to the people, right? And it could be a group of people of which you trust. It could be a group of people that have a good reputation of which you trust, right? In many countries, right, in the Muslim world, they literally have a system to transact money through over borders, right? In the African countries, they have a very similar system. So Fedimint is kind of going back to that, but using Bitcoin instead, right? It's very, very interesting. I don't know why it took me so long to, you know, for it to make sense in my head. But it was really this article that really explained it to me. So I really wanted to share it with you guys. And I hope at least some of you guys find value in it. Obviously, the article is too long to completely read it. But we always put our sources down the link description if you want to read the whole article and you kind of understand. I guarantee you this, you will be hearing more about this. And the beauty of this, right, is because it's a back-end thing, you might download a Bitcoin wallet that has Fedimint. Excuse me, that has Fedimint, and you might not even have any idea that you're using it, but at least it's better than trusting a centralized party, centralized third party. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, I'm thinking, I'm trying to wrap my head around Fedimint. I saw the Matt O'Dell on here. I will need to go read this, but I've had some thoughts on this, man. I think this is absolutely bullish in regards to not allowing people to make excuses to say that Bitcoin self-custody is too hard, because personally, I think it's absolutely easy once you get over that initial hump of, oh my God, this is so terrifying. There's no bank to return a transaction. There's no one that can save you if you mess up. And I think it's that mental leap that really scares people. And so while my first thought is maybe this is a crutch and it might not do exactly what we expect it to do, I believe that if we give people more options to understand that, look, guys, it's not as scary as you think. Here's an easier way for you to do it, but this isn't the final step. And the final step is self-custody, because we say it all the time, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. But this seems like there is a solid trade-off here. And furthermore, the fact that they can acknowledge that there's a trade-off here up front, I think proves that, yes, this will be some technology that we should be very bullish on the future, because it sounds like a nice, this might sound really harsh, guys, but it sounds like a nice hand-holding procedure in between to get people to, self-custody. And I don't know if this will hamper or push people in the right direction in the long term, but I think it's absolutely a bullish thing to be building new products and new ways to self-custody Bitcoin. And of course, you know, like Uncle Jimming your friends and family so that they don't get completely scared away, because it's like, oh my God, Bitcoin is such a new foreign technology and it's so different that people need to ease their way into it. Not everyone is as radical and savage as we are and willing to just burn all the ships and go just full nuclear in Bitcoin. There's, you know, most people are risk averse to speculative assets, and for better or worse, that's what people think Bitcoin is. So we need to make sure that people are safe and that people don't wreck themselves. And I think this is a good trade-off in between. But like I said, guys, I will need to do a full deep dive so I can have this moment that Nico is having and be as bullish as he is. So take what I say with a grain of salt. This is just me thinking through what I just heard. And I'm sure we will cover this again.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to read this comment by Narwhal Tacos. And again, I just started to understand it, Narwhal, so I'm not going to give you as great of an answer as, like, for example, Odell, right? But let me try it, right? It says, help me out here. If people won't move Bitcoin off exchange, why will they move it Bitcoin off exchange of Fedimint? Okay, so think about it this way, right? If you want to move Bitcoin off exchange today, right? What does it require? You have to write down a seed phrase, right? You have to get a hardware wallet, right? With a Fedimint, you just download an app. That's it, right? And you could take that Bitcoin into self-custody without taking any crazy steps, right? So it makes it a lot easier, right? To just take self-custody, right? And then also what I suspect could happen as well is that exchanges will have like an automated feature, right? So yeah, man, this really changes it, because how it is right now is You have to write down a seed phrase. You have to store that seed phrase. You have to keep it someplace safe, right? This is more, you just have to trust the community. You have to trust the Federation, right? And of course, is this meant for like crazy life-changing amounts of Bitcoin, right? And of course, money's relative, right? So, you know, for someone, $1,000 is a life-changing amount of money, right? So whatever is a life-changing amount of money for you, whatever you can't afford to use, I still recommend self-custody. I still recommend taking the time to learn self-custody. But for the everyday average individual, and you got to keep in mind, guys, most of the world literally lives paycheck to paycheck. They can't afford to even save, right? And at the end of the day, Bitcoin is two things, right? It's a savings technology, but it's also a means of exchange, especially through Lightning, right? And again, I think that this is a good solution without completely relying on a centralized service, right? Like Wallet of Satoshi, for example, even though they're an amazing Lightning wallet, right? This is a stopgap, right? This is an in-between feature. And like was mentioned in the article, the beauty of this is that you won't even know this is happening. It's happening in the background, privacy by default. You download the wallet and it's already implemented. And then that saves you from potential government capture. And that's the key word, right? Because at the end of the day, the ultimate clash, right? And you heard that interviewer that was talking to Natalie Brunell in the beginning of the show. The inevitable clash is government saying, we want to continue printing money. We want to be able to continue controlling people through monetary policy and through the fact that people use our money. So what are they going to go? They're going to go after the centralized entities, the centralized points of failure, right? The weak points, right? You saw that with the Canadian truckers, right? The Canadian government wasn't able to recover all that Bitcoin, but they were able to freeze the Bitcoin that was on exchanges through a Fedimint system. It's still possible if the government compromises all the people that are part of that federation. But again, what if people are in another country? How are you going to compromise that if you're a government, right? And again, what it really does is it moves the balance of power from the state to the individual. And this just is another tool in our arsenal to maintain our freedom or to protect our freedom, better said. But anyways, Opti, I know it was a long bit. I know I read a lot, guys, but I felt like it was really important. And I hope some of you found value in that. But anyways, Opti, it's time for
The Daily Fail.
Brought to you by Swan. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plan, instant purchases, and it's serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. What we advocate for on Simply Bitcoin is dollar cost averaging, and our values align with Swan, right? They incentivize self-custody. They want you to take self-custody. They don't want you to leave it on the app. And they incentivize DCA, right? Which is, in our opinion, the best way to stack Bitcoin without, you know, speculation, whatever. Spread out the risk over a number of days. Swan.com.
All right, guys. I am here to do the fail. Bear with me. I am trying this new software, so hopefully this isn't as clunky as I thought it would be. So let's get into this fail, guys. You already know what we're going to cover. It's all over the news. Let's get into this.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to the Best Business Show. This is the best show that there ever was. It's because we said so. I got big news for everyone. I have Plena here with me. I've got John with me. Joe's here in spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm just going to come out and say it. Tomorrow will be the last live show of the Best Business Show. I got a lot of other things I got to do. We're going to shut down the live show. We're still going to create a ton of content. We're still going to be posting it everywhere, but there will be no more live show after tomorrow, which means tomorrow's show, I got a special treat for you. Don't worry. On the way out, I'm going to take care of you all. No more live show, though, after tomorrow. Two big things. One, obviously, it's a time commitment. Second thing is I hate the news. The news, the incentives are all off. I don't give a shit. We can go back to doing long form interviews with people. I've been stacking them up. We got some great people, some great ones. Lots of people be real pissed at the conversations we've been having, which means they're good conversations. So no more live show after tomorrow. Of course, Plena had to come do one last lunch money. And then tomorrow we're gonna have a little bit of fun. But, Plena said, I appreciate you guys. I love you all.
All right, enough of that. Enough of that, guys. Well, what is going on here, guys? I want to make one point before I go into what I believe is actually going on here. I really loved how he said that the news isn't important. And Simply Bitcoin has shown me the light that I think the news, covering the news, is even more important than ever, guys. Because who else is going to counter this FUD? We all know that there's people out there that are doing the interviews and all the likes and all that stuff. But who is going to counter the FUD? I think this is more important than anything, but we'll get into exactly what's going on. So, as you guys know, Pomp is an investor in Morgan Creek Digital, an index fund built for the world's leading institutions. You can see him right here, and you can see his digital asset index fund made up of a bunch of shit coins. Okay, let's continue down. Oh yeah, let's remember that Morgan Creek Digital, co-founded by Pomp, is one of BlockFi's largest investors. Do I need to remind you of what happened with BlockFi? They are looking like they are in trouble and mega wrecked. And just to keep on going, I've been telling you guys about Dick Whitman all week. And look at this awesome meme he's got in here. Nick Carter and Pomp investing in BlockFi. Yes, absolutely wrecked. And I didn't cover this yet, and I'm almost positive that I will cover this on the next fill. Let's just keep jumping in. We got Nick Carter here saying, Bitcoin maximalism is a concept that only exists in the minds of people who want to destroy Bitcoin and supplant it with something they own 10% of. Awesome, Nick. Look, and this now deleted tweet. Being intolerant of scammers and snake oil salesmen is a long-term strategy that is healthy and good for everyone, even if it hurts in the short term. Optimizing for any other set of norms is unworkable. Well, look what he just dropped yesterday. Stuff You've Invented Stuff, my latest on physical NFTs, what they are and why they matter. Redeem and retain, NFTs are the future of luxury goods. So, guys, what do I think is happening here? Your boy got wrecked. He is in pain. He can say however he wants. He can blanket this however he wants. But in my opinion, the news and going live right now is more important than ever. And this just like cope and this glass over of, oh, it's taking too much time and I don't like the news and... Shitcoiner confirmed he got wrecked in the bear market. He doesn't have the funds to continue to do the show. Just be honest about it, bro. You took blood money. Your investors in your podcast weren't as, how do we put this, as straight up as you painted them to be. And now you're rug pulling your fans on quote unquote the best business show ever. Guys, this is why we do this show. This is why we are doubling down and going live every single day, because yes, the incentives are fucked up, but we have to cover the news because who is going to counter this FUD? This is the Bitcoin revolution and we need people holding these, I don't want to cuss Nico, holding these people accountable, because if we're not doing it, who else is going to do it, guys? Hence why I am here with Nico every single day, because we have to counter this stuff, guys. I think the news is the most important aspect of this show. I know you guys love the memes, but the people out there, outside of our echo bubble, outside of our echo chamber, they do not know Bitcoin like we know. They are just hearing the legacy media FUD. And we need to devour that. We need to turn their FUD into love, like I said, and show them that Bitcoin is the way. The sound money gospel is for everyone. The peaceful Bitcoin revolution is for everyone. And the only way we can get that message out is by countering the bullshit from legacy media. The news is the most important aspect of this show, because we need to show receipts and we need to prove to people that they are being lied to, they are being gaslit. And we record it every single day. Nico, I know I went on a little baby Nico Jones rant, but I hope you have something.
Go at it. Go at it, man. Go at it. I just want to give some shout outs to the plebs that are in the comments. I'm laughing my ass off reading these. BTC Pin says, hey guys, how can I get into the Nick and Pomp Fediment? Sandy Scholes, how you doing? Howdy from Texas. Mr. Robot's in the chat. Let's see what Mr. Robot has to say. Nick went full Britney with his NFT umbrella. Oh, man. Dude, oh damn, Optimus going for the jugular. Wow, okay. Oh, here we go. And by Narwhal Tacos, let's show that one. And it says, I think in reality, Pomp got sick of doing a daily show with only 400 views. Look, Gigi once said something really wise on Twitter, right? And he said, live by the growth hack, die by the growth hack. And Pomp, again, everyone has different business decisions and, you know, that's what they're going to do and et cetera, but Pomp, there was many times that he clearly, for example, he shilled the coin mine, right? He was shilling a bunch of other products that he's smart enough to know that that is literally a scam that hurts people. And, you know, his language as well, I'm your boy Pomp, you know, like, I got your back. No, you don't. You don't. Look, if you're transparent about it, fine. Right? You know, because then it's like shame on the person believing him or, you know, trusting what he has to say. But the fact that he tries to act like your friend and then, you know, hit you with this. And yeah, dude, I think that he wasn't getting the engagement that he was looking for. But look, here's the thing, guys. The bear market for content is rough. Like, your videos are not going to do as well as how they were doing during the bull, right? But the ones that stay, right, I think they're in it for different reasons, right? For me, Bitcoin represents, you know, the liberation of mankind, freedom from central banking. I know Opti's as hardcore as I am, right? Obviously, Pomp is, you know, and this isn't my words. I forget what Bitcoiner said this. He's a fiat Bitcoiner. Right? That's what he was about. He's not into Bitcoin for the revolution. He's into Bitcoin for the fiat gains, and Bitcoin is a vehicle for that, right? So yeah, man, I'm still going to say I don't even want to say it's disappointing. It's just like, I think we all knew this was going to come along, man. Anyways, Opti, let's move on to the meme review, brother. We're running out of time. All right, hold on. Let me read a couple more comments, right? Here he says, because Zezler says, not luxury good either. You could use an NFT for something like a title or a deed. And then here is Lucky Redfish. Shout out to you. This is just one in a long line of shillers who come and go. And then we got Sean B. Simply Fetty News minting truth bombs. Awesome. All right, Opti. It's time for literally my favorite part of the show. The one that we actually get to breathe. Let's check it out. It's time for
the Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin culture zine. It's stories, articles, comics by actual Bitcoiners. This is the artwork for Volume 10. This is the artwork for Volume 11. And this is the artwork for Volume 2. Volume 2 is almost sold out because there's only 1,000 physical copies made per volume. Guys, get your physical prints of Citadel 21 today before they run out.
All right, guys. Again, forgive me for the clunkiness of this meme review, but I needed you guys to see these videos a part of the memes because our boys out there on Twitter are absolutely killing it. So first one, this is going to be a little clunkier than usual, but first one is by Yellow. Amazing work, Yellow.
And now the next of the world, brought to you by Yakko Warner.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru.
In Kazakhstan.
China. Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still.
Or in Canada, or in Africa, or in Texas.
Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan. Paraguay.
Or in California,
Paraguay.
Or New York.
Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, and French Guiana, Barbados.
China.
Italy, and Guam.
Guam!
Okay, all right, that's the first one. Again, sorry for the clunkiness, guys. I gotta get these other memes in here. Which one was it? Apologies, let me check. Okay, sorry guys, it is this one was fire. You guys saw this one. This one made the rounds.
What we're seeing is that we are in a transition. We had this strong economic growth because of the work that this president has done in the past 18 months. And now what we're seeing is a transition into stable and steady growth.
And for our audio listeners, right, that is
that is the White House press secretary, like, usually doing a regular interview. But in the back, they just superimpose an apocalypse. Oh, man.
Okay, I do have some normal memes for you guys here, and I will wrap it up with one more video. Shouts out to RD Bitcoin. Apparently not, and it's the "Is this a meme?" and it's Joe Biden's face looking at the Fred. I can't read that. Optimus's eyes are bad, and it's Joe Biden going, "Is this a recession?" And then this one, guys, I absolutely love this. This one's not necessarily Bitcoin focused, but it makes our point for us better. So shouts out to the Anarchist Institute. We got an NPC on one side and we got Ludwig von Mises on the other. And he goes, repeat after me. Okay. Inflation, inflation, corporate profits, corporate profits. Inflation is corporate profits and greed. And Ludwig von Mises with the G, you know, the meme with the glasses goes, inflation is expansion of the money supply. We know this. Pure signal. Hold on, guys. I got one last meme. And again, this meme isn't Bitcoin focused per se, but I think it says our message for us better than I could. And sometimes that message comes from TikTokers. So listen up, guys. This is the energy we all need in our lives. Let's go.
You know, life is supposed to be a wonderful.
What happened, my friend?
Sorry. I didn't share it. My bad. Thing, this new software is throwing me off, but we're trying to give you guys the best quality of the software. Here we go.
You know, life is supposed to be a wonderful adventure for each and every one of us. That's what God intended. But unfortunately, there's a group of evil motherfuckers out there in this world who feel that they know better than all of us. And that they have the right to run the world. They're going to herd us into a corner. They're going to call the herd, as they say, Mr. Klaus Schwab, and his 500 million people by 2030. Well, I got to tell you fellas something. There's a whole bunch of us who just decided to say, fuck that. Klaus, I'm going to ask you this. You ever watch Shark Week? You and Justin sit down together and watch Shark Week? You ever see a great white? They come from the bottom, and they come up real hard and fast. You think we're on the bottom? Well, guess what, boys? We're coming up hard and fucking fast. So fasten your seatbelts.
Let's go. That's the energy that we need in our lives right there, guys. Absolutely love this. Let's see. What is my meme review?
Wait. Hold on. Before you read it, guys, rate the meme in the comment section. Do it right now. We will pull it up and we will be forced to read some weird shit.
All right. Well, I am going to give my score for the meme review will be this USB-C audio adapter that you use for an Android to stream the spaces.
All right, fair enough. We got an ass Pravana 5. What is Becca doing, Opti?
I am building.
What's the second best?
There is no second best.
Dude, that shit doesn't get old. Anyways, okay. So BTC Pins gives it a samurai sword. All right. Very, very nice.
Letter opener, though.
Samurai sword, letter opener. I'm going to give it Nico's mysterious journal, but it's not the black one. I also have a brown one.
The secrets with everyone's name on the hit list. Shouts out to Becca. We are taking names and numbers, and we're counting it twice. You already know.
Oh, man. Oh, God. All right. We got Opti. Doesn't mind the Klaus Schwab stuff. And oh God. All right. Anyways. Okay. So I'm going to read some of the stuff. Lucky Redfish. My Competition Pro Gamepad. Wow. Very cool. All right. Opti, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. Thank you, sir. All right, next one by Green Bull 92. I give those memes 21 failed White House press conference. Extemos gives it a 1 Zeus pin from BTC Pins. Becca says, the black book is real. Oh, yes, Becca. It's real. It is very real. But now, it's also a brown book. All right, next one. Where are the Simply Bitcoin stickers? They're right here. They're right here. Lucky Redfish, do you want a Simply Bitcoin sticker? All right, man. I'm going to send it to you. All right, next one. Mr. Robot, 1 Zeus pin from BTC Pins. And we got last score, John Thor Austin. I rate this chopped up credit card. All right. Oh. Oh, man. Beak. You know what? Because I love the plebs, but you definitely know how to make me feel sad and uncomfortable. I'll read it. Phil's glasses. God damn it. All right. Last one. BTC Pins. Oh, there's so many. I give those memes the MSG dust for an old Doritos.
We're going to have to add the segment of just the meme review scores on the show.
Yep. Okay. All right. I've had enough fun. Guys, tune into the next one, and we will continue reading the live scores where you can make Nico an optimist feel uncomfortable. Anyways, all right. Let's move on. I think there was an open source soft release. Let's check it out. All right, software releases. Before we get to the software releases, I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome sponsor, CipherSafe. What is CipherSafe, guys? Well, don't be that person that puts their Bitcoin seed on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, dog attacks, dog literally eating your... Can you imagine you lost your Bitcoin because your dog ate your seed? That would... Well, you would have to wait, I guess. And put on gloves. This is terrible. Terrible. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be in that situation. You want your seed to be fireproof, waterproof, petproof. It's exactly why you want to back up your seed on metal with the Cypher Grid or the Cypher Wheel. Once you back it up on metal, that seed isn't going anywhere. And you can get those at CypherSafe.io. All right, Opti. What is the software release for today, my friend?
All right, guys. What's up? We got today for the software release, we got the Start 9 Embassy Volume 0.3.1.1 released. It has a whole laundry list of fixes, way too much to say, but go check out their GitHub and definitely go listen to us on all our audio platforms, Apple, Google, Anchor, Apple, Spotify, and Anchor. And of course, we will take your sats on the value for value economy with the Fountain app. So if you like what we're doing, guys, stream some sats. We're appreciated. We will still do this show irregardless of the sats stream. So shouts out to you guys. Go listen to us on the audio platform. And Nico, let's roll this one out, bro.
There we go. It is a live show. We make mistakes. Guys, that was our show. Before we go, I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor. Represent LTD. They make some of the most comfortable hoodies. And I'm not just saying that because they pay us. Literally, if you see me at an airport, you see me around, I will literally be wearing this hoodie. They're stylish. They're comfortable. He makes Bitcoin merch. He's making Simply Bitcoin merch. Guys, it's really fucking awesome. They make awesome clothing. And you can take advantage of the promo code down below to get 10% off anything off the RepresentLTD.com store. Guys, this is a live version of Simply Bitcoin. Like I said, we are going to continue with this format. We absolutely love it. It looks like you guys like interacting with us as well. So bear with us because it is live. We will make mistakes, but I feel like that adds to the authenticity as well. Guys, we're really humbled to have you guys. It's been a very tough couple of weeks for us, as I'm sure a lot of you guys know. We will continue and we promise you guys to keep bringing you the signal, or what we think is the signal, the pleb signal, better said. Guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the Bitcoin news from the pleb perspective and the catastrophic fails from the same perspective, definitely consider
subscribing to Simply Bitcoin. We have a pre-recorded show out coming out tomorrow. The next show is on Monday. We have Yellow coming in as well. He's going to do the numbers. We're going to force him to do the numbers. Guys, we really appreciate you all, and we really love you. I will see you guys later. Have a good weekend.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay. What's the second best? There is no second best.